in June, you paid for Sharon and I and Gail Gross to be at the assembly meetings in Calgary. And I've been trying to think how to make a report. So I thought, when they asked me this morning to share, I thought this would be an opportunity. I don't want to make a report, but I do want to, for some of you who might be new to our congregation, I do want to give you a little history about who we are and our connections and our larger family, and give you a tiny report too on what's available, some things that you may not be aware of through our larger group. So to get into that, who's First Baptist Church Ponoka? Who is? We are. I want to hear that. We are. Right. And we're independent in ourselves, but we, for purposes of a larger body and a larger family, we have decided to join together, and we'll mention some things that are benefit us through our larger body. So we're connected to the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada. And the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada have us over on the left there, First Baptist Church, and then connected with the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada. And through the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada, we're connected with Canadian Baptist Ministries. And then along with us, Canadian Baptists of Western Canada, there's Canadian Baptists of Ontario and Quebec, CBOQ. There's Canadian Baptists of Atlantic Canada, CBAC, or sometimes Maritime Provinces. And there's the Union of French-Speaking Baptist Churches of Canada. And then all together, we are under Canadian Baptist Ministries, which is our mission and relief arm. So when our mission team went to Bolivia, who did they visit? Pardon? Tim and Kelly. Tim and Kelly Hutton and their little girl. They did that under Canadian Baptist Ministries. And Tim and Kelly Hutton are our partners in mission under Canadian Baptist Missionaries. We thank God for them and the wonderful time our people had there, Lord, and we need to hold them in prayer. When Sharon and I went to India, we did it under Canadian Baptist Ministries. We were blessed to be able to do that. Do you know who our other missions are from First Baptist Church Ponoka? Who are our other designated missionaries? Some right in the front row. Jarell and the Central Alberta Ministry, right on. And who else? Noah, the Wallstroms, with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission. And I didn't say Shanoa when I said, and Shanoa who serves us in so many ways in this church too. We praise God for all these opportunities, don't we? And we need to hold these ones in prayer. Is there anybody here that's come from Ontario, Quebec conventions or Maritime? Anybody here had experience elsewhere? No, I think there are some in our congregation. Who's coming that is from Canadian Baptist of Atlantic Canada?
Curtis.
And Cindy. Yes, they are. They're from the United Baptist Convention. That's what, if you travel in the Maritimes, you'll see on the church Bedard, United Baptist. That's strange to us from the West. What does that mean, United Baptist? Well, they are our brothers and sisters, the Canadian Baptists, they're the Canadian Baptists of Atlantic Canada, they call themselves United Baptists over 200 years ago. In the beginning of the 18th century, they were a union of the Calvinist Baptists and the Arminian Baptists. They got together in the Atlantic provinces and they became the United Baptists. And they've been the United Baptists ever since. So don't worry if you see United Baptists and you're traveling, pull in, you'll have brothers and sisters there to worship with. Don't let the name throw you off. And then all together, we have the Baptist World Alliance. If you wanted to know more about these larger groups, they have Facebook pages and you can join them and you can get up-to-date news from both Canadian Baptist Ministries and the Baptist World Alliance. Things have messed up a bit since COVID, but our assembly meets once every year, but every other year they've been doing it online. So I think this coming year might be online, I'm not sure. But Canadian Baptists only met only once every 3 years, and the Baptist World Alliance met once every 5 years. And if you wanted to have a nice trip someday, you could go to Switzerland or wherever it's held and be part of that celebration. As I mentioned, Gail and Sharon and I were able to be your reps at the assembly this year. And Gail and Sharon seemed to joyfully let me give this report today. I hope I do them honor, but I thank them for that opportunity. We were reminded at the convention how important it is to have good leaders on our board at CBWC level. And churches nominate the people who are on our next board up, our CBWC board. And sometimes we're not aware of that, but if you know a person who's an outstanding leader in your church or one of our churches, and you can nominate, and our church could nominate by texting president with a capital P at cwc.ca, president at cwc.ca. It's good for us to be aware of, and Sharon and I have been thinking of some people that we need to, because these people become leaders that help shape the future of our bigger family, and we need strong people there. We had a resource guide given to us, and I want to just quickly flip through the pages of that resource guide. The first page brings out ongoing development, cultivating leadership at our local CBWC level. They have the Banff Pastors and Spouses Conference. I'm hoping that Curtis and Cindy get here soon enough to be part of that. That's a really good way to get to know the other pastors through Western Canada. And we have together Cary Theological College, which is our main seminary or training school right now in Vancouver. And Colin Goodwin is the director or executive. I'm not just sure what his title is, but these are really challenging jobs in our day. As you can imagine, with all the situations that we have to face, we should really keep calling in our prayers. When he gave his report at assembly, he was visibly shaken. And I just realized how difficult. He's a man of God that really wants to lead a school that's true to the word. And we need to support some of these people that we have working for us. Then we have together that one ministry for youth. It's called Youth Leadership Team, called SERVE. A week of service, learning, and worship for CBWC youth. You need to be a mature 12-year-old or older to be part of Serve. And Serve next year is going to, this year is in Yukon. Next year it's going to be in Wetaskiwin. Anybody know where Wetaskiwin is? And the sponsoring church is Brightview Baptist. So here's an opportunity for us to take some youth. We need a person to step forward and be a team leader that would go with them. You get free pay if you go that way. And so we just need that. And we need that about before October. And then that person can will get all the information as we get closer to it and can go with the team and serve the communities around Brightview Baptist, I think right into Wetaskiwin, serve the whole communities there. So you'll have a whole week together with other youth from around Western Canada. And then Curious is our group, our gap year experience for young adults. It includes study, work, pray, and immersive cross-cultural experience in Central America. So some of you may be coming to finish your school and you're just not sure what you want to do, and gap year is becoming a very common thing. Take a year just to grow in your faith, and this is an opportunity for you, Curious. The office has more information, our own church office, for any of these things, if some of you are interested in them. And then over on the right hand, we have our camps. And right at the top in this list is Gull Lake Camp Center. Gull Lake Center, where is that? Just right close here, isn't it? And I wonder if any of our young people have been out to Gull Lake. Have you been out this? Yes, great. Praise God for you guys. Thank you. We need to be in prayer for our camp. It is a challenging time. And who is the camp director this year? Our own Jared Tangert. Yay for Jared. And he's really working hard to make that a positive place for young people and to meet some of the challenges of the day. So he's another one we need on our list, Jared Tangert, as we take time to pray. They have their challenges. My son just came through Friday after leaving camp. He was the camp dad. And all my grandchildren in that family were leaders. So we heard all about camp and how wonderful a week they had. So we can be proud of being part of these things. Serve, as I said, is in Wetaskiwin, July 5th to 11th, 2026. The next page, investing in relationship. And they have the picture there of those, including our, each area in the West has a pastor to pastor. Ours is Tim Kerber, and he's the second one in, Tim, from the left, and he's been helping our elders through the transition and helping us through finding another pastor. So we have that resource as well as financial resources. Down in the right, the CBWC Foundation, they hold the mortgage on this new sanctuary as we are paying it off, and they give us preferred rates to be able to do that. So as we come together, we are benefiting from the larger family as well. I'm looking at one page, and I've got my notes on the other page. That's really smart, isn't it? I'll have to try to... One of the things we do together is the Justice and Mercy Network, trying to stay alive to the issues of our day, culturally speaking. This is one of the more difficult parts of our ministry. And we were to have a motion come to repudiate the doctrine of discovery. Some natives in the East of our original peoples had requested that. And as it was coming up to convention and during convention, the assembly, we realized that we really didn't know what that meant. And I don't think we do a benefit to our native peoples by making moves that may promise things we can't come through with. It seems like we've had a bit of a history of that in Canada. And so they did not bring that particular motion forward at assembly. It was left back. But we certainly want to be in prayer for our native peoples, especially as the many struggles that we see here, and keep them and reach out in any way we can that would be helpful. That was a bit contentious, but the more contentious issue we had at the assembly was we've been, these last few years, reaffirming what it means to be, what marriage means, the definition of marriage. We've been reaffirming the clear words of Scripture. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals, over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So we've had to reaffirm, as you know, over these past years, that we believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And that has been a struggle because some churches wanted a larger definition. Some churches have left us, but some churches have joined as we've struggled through this issue. This was reaffirmed 3 years ago, yet this year it came up again in that some who have left us have formed another denomination, another group, and some churches that stayed with us want to be part of that group and part of us. So dual affiliation came up. And that was a bit contentious, but we listened to each other, and they took the vote, and the vote was 70% clearly against dual affiliation. We do not want to go into dual affiliation, belonging to two different groups. If you belong to us, marriage is between a man and a woman. We pray that the Lord will be able to help us through the struggles to come, because our world is moving against us, and we're going to realize that. And we're not trying to shut out anybody that believes differently from worship. Everyone is welcome here. All of us have our struggles. All of us need forgiveness to be in these doors and worship God. So we welcome everybody. But when it comes to welcoming into leadership and membership and leadership, we need to be trying to live for the Lord in all our lifestyles. And so that has been a challenge to us. And how do we... I wish we were through this challenge, yet, as I've said, as our world is going, I don't think we are. And I think we may have to make some very difficult choices in the future, too, as we face where the world moves as we try to stand up for the Lord and help others see what a beautiful God we have and how beautifully he's created us. I want to spend a few moments this morning just thinking about how we can do that, how we can represent our Lord with truth and love and help others see the light he brings to our life. We need to remember in doing it that from James, haven't you read, I skipped this one. Jesus himself reaffirmed what marriage was. Sometimes they say, it was just Old Testament, it's not in the New Testament. That's not true. Jesus says in Matthew 19, haven't you read that in the beginning God, the Creator, made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So the Lord has made it clear to us, and we want to uphold that. But we want to uphold it in a way that is scriptural and that honors our Lord, and that's where the big challenge comes. We remember James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself or himself unspotted from the world. Somehow in this challenge, we all need to be able to respond in a way that shows the care, the love, the mercy, and the truth of the Lord. And we are really, I believe we are going to be very, very challenged into that. The theme at the assembly was based on the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Our Father. Where do we learn about God as Father in the Scripture? That is something that Jesus introduced us to. Think about it. You have the Good Shepherd. You have lots of revelations of God through all of Scripture. But it's only Jesus has taught us of the Father and shown us the Father. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And he showed us a God who is a heavenly Father to us. And he taught us to pray that way. And we need to not take that for granted. He's a different kind of Father than if you had a You may have not had a father this sort, but you can have the Lord as your father, even if you missed in your earthly father. He wants to be there, a father for all of us. And sometimes as earthly fathers, and I'm definitely one that's speaking, I mess up sometimes. I hope my kids can look by that and see the Heavenly Father who doesn't. And I try to sometimes ask them to do that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. What's not going to make his name hallowed? Probably his church, eh? How do we carry his name? Even by coming to church, the community sees it, and they begin to think, oh, that person's going to that church. And if we live in a way that brings disrepute on God, if we are unfair or dishonest or unloving to our family or our kids or whatever, then that reflects on who? It reflects on us, but it reflects on our Lord, doesn't it? And His name will not be hallowed in our community. So how do we take up and carry our name, his name? That is something we all need to be daily aware of. I remember one time when I was pastor out in Brownfield, and I had a little Dodge D50, four-speed. It was really fun. And I could bomb over the hills and visit people, and it was a blessed time. And then the moose started moving in, and one of my farmer friends, Ron, you better be careful, because one of these days you're going to come over a hill, and there's going to be a moose on the road in front of you. And I was glad for his warning. I said, if I hit it right, I can go right under him, right between his legs. But I don't know if I don't think that would have worked too good. Some of you don't think that would have worked too good. One day I was driving along, and I was weighed down with the cares of the church and my friends, and I wasn't happy. I was struggling to have the faith that I wanted to have. And it came to my mind, I believe from the Lord, Ron, what if one of your people from this community pass you now and look at you? What are they going to think of this God that you're trying to hold up in this community? And I was convicted. I was convicted that I needed to bear in my countenance my faith, too, even on the road. And I'm not perfect at that or any of this, but we need to think about how do we take up and carry the Lord's name, and especially in response to people who believe differently from us. That is a huge struggle. But our hope is on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, that we could have heaven come to earth. It has come. Who brought it? Christ brought it. Christ brought it. Well, the Creator brought it, but then Christ brought heaven to earth. And he offers it to us as we let him be the Lord and guide of our lives. He offers us this huge opportunity of heaven coming to earth. And that is that was the theme of our assembly too. And our speaker spoke on the Lord's Prayer. It was a wonderful time, and we have a wonderful hope. We have a wonderful hope. Do any of you recognize that guy? Yes. Joshua, he was a pastor here years ago, and he spoke to us just in this past year, didn't he? Well, he was the outgoing CBWC board leader. So he wrote in our assembly, and I like what he wrote, so I wanted to bring it to us. When I think about the Lord's Prayer, he says, I often dwell on the part that says, thy will be done. I think about that on a personal level, because usually as much as I pray those words, a part of me is unwilling to give up control. The fact is that far too often I would prefer my will be done. It seems easier at first glance, and because of my selfishness and need to get my way, I often think it would simply be easier to do things on my own. My skills, my preferences, my own lifetime. This way of thinking, though, is far too short-sighted on my part. In my almost 2 years as president of the board, I have heard so many great stories about what God is doing in our midst, baptisms, healings, and restoration. I have talked with many of you and heard some of your struggles and concerns, not just with your churches or the CBWC, but also with the world. In the pages of this annual report, we look back at some of these encouraging stories. God is at work in our midst, and he continues to write the story within CBWC. And you know he continues to write the story in the world. And we need to remember that. I was just saw in the news last night how God is working all over the world in so many amazing ways. May you be encouraged as you read and thank God for his work among us. I think one reason we as Christians have such a hard time with the confusion that's coming into our world is we kind of know where that goes. Once the world leaves the clearness of Scripture and the faith in a creator God who showed us his face in Christ, we know where it goes. Because we read in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that is repeated through the Old Testament, isn't it? That leads to chaos. We see it again and again. And we recognize that our world is, in a sense, on a verge of chaos again as we begin to find truth in what every man thinks is right in his own eyes. That's really a worldly definition of truth today. And we know that it doesn't lead to good places, not even in my own life, when I think I'm the only one that's right. As we think about how we can respond to a world then that is going this direction in a way that honors and lifts Christ up, I want to just close with a few scriptures that. And I want to look first at the Apostle Peter, because Peter, to me, he kept getting himself in trouble, but his heart was right in what he wanted to do. And the first scripture I want to look at is John 13:33-14. My children, I will be with you only a little longer, Jesus says. And he's talking to his disciples and Peter. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And then Jesus went on to say, I'm sure Peter was quiet. Ouch. Have you ever had that kind of an ouch? But Jesus goes on, do not let your hearts be troubled. We sometimes think he's only talking about death there, but I think he's talking to Peter too about the ouch. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. So Jesus had tried to explain to Peter what was coming and the other disciples, but Peter has just a hard time to get it. So again, we read in Matthew 16:21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Ooh. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Does that ever refer to us? Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. You see, we think we know where the world needs to go for heaven to be on earth. And we're basing it on good things and good teachings of the Lord. But we don't know how God is going to get us there. We don't know that part. And if we think that it has to be our way, we could well be standing with Peter as he stood this day. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't understand the cross and the resurrection, Peter. You can't. This was before it happened, so Peter couldn't. But how much Peter hadn't learned yet that it isn't about what I want to happen. It isn't about me. It's about what the Lord is doing. You know, through all this, the Lord brought an old chorus to my mind that we don't sing very much anymore, but it's, he's got the whole world. Do you know it? In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. Yeah, we need to sing that more today. And remind ourselves that however wrong the world may seem to be going, it's still in the hands of our Creator God, who showed us his face in Christ. And we need to represent him when we talk to the world. We need to lift him up in a way that the world can hear who Jesus really is and the hope and life that we have. We need to be good listeners. I'm not a very good listener, especially when people seem to be attacking. I have a hat that says it has a scripture on it that I like, and I was in No Frills the other day, and I even forgot I had that hat on. It was, we look not to the seen, but the unseen. And a woman came up to me right in my face, and I was thinking about the list I had to get for Sharon. And I didn't even know about my hat. What does that mean? She said. And like, it blew me right off my feet. And I wish I could say I gave a wonderful explanation. But I kind of melted in the instant. Well, it's scripture. It's real to me. I can't remember what I said. I mumbled. Like, I mean, how do we respond in situations like this in a way that lifts our Lord up? We all need to think about that and work at it, because we're going to, this, my ear isn't big enough. I always thought I had big ears, but my ear isn't big enough. When I was in school, they always called me Big-Eared Harris, but anyways, I need bigger ears now. So let's see what Peter would say to us now, after he understood the cross and the resurrection. Let's first look at some of the things Peter said about how we respond. In 1 Peter 3, finally, all of you be like-minded, sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Oh, please do this better, people, than I do. But that's my heart, to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. That that part isn't so easy sometimes, is it? Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. The end of all things is near, 1 Peter 4. Therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you can pray. It's not in us, it's only as he can work through us. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, why, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. Ooh, that one kind of catches me once in a while. Am I trying to straighten out the world or am I trying to bring hope? Am I a meddler? I don't want to be that. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. You bear the name. Hallowed be the name. We bear the name of the Lord. And 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. That is so true in our world today. We do not stand alone. We stand with a family around the world of all the believers. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. His divine power, in 2 Peter, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. Lord, I'm still working on that one. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Yeah, sometimes we almost can forget how we came, and that we had to be cleansed from our past sins. Just a few more scriptures from Paul.
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the people for the working of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Kind of interesting things, isn't it? And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul is in chains here. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Oh Lord, lead that way for me. And lead that way for us, that we can see things done here on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God for that hope that we have. Thank you for your patience this morning. Oh, I wanted to mention, we have, if you want more thought on this, we have a book in the library, Christians in a Cancel Culture. It's interesting, kind of to show some of the things that we will be facing, that we have faced. But there is also a study that Greg has done with us, and if he ever does it again, or if only a few of us took it, it was on how to speak to the abortion issue. But it went over so many of these kind of issues that we struggle with, how to speak positively about them. And we actually practiced our responses to each other. And when I look back, it was maybe the most useful thing I've done in the past year. So if Greg or if somebody else, Shanoa, maybe we should offer it again sometime. It would be good if we could do more things that help us think about how we respond at the drop of a moment, how we can prepare ourselves to respond in a way that hallows the name of our Lord and Savior. Let's want to do that. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.